Tomorrow's college football game of the week is number 14 Oklahoma versus South Carolina at 11:45 a.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Bingen, pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, by Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. And Chad, what a fabulous triple-header of SEC games we have tomorrow between LSU and Vanderbilt, Ole Miss and Georgia, and, of course, Tennessee and Alabama. Which of those three games will have the biggest influence on how the college football playoff picture shakes out?
It's a great question. I really think it's probably Ole Miss-Georgia. I mean, if you look at Georgia right now, it's fascinating. They are a missed Max Gilbert field goal and a bad call that was in their favor, where they're going to be down 17-0 at halftime to Auburn, to starting 0-3 in the SEC. They lose at home to Alabama. They should have lost to Tennessee. Tennessee had about 8 different chances to put them away, couldn't do it. And then they get a really favorable set of calls, and instead of 17-0, suddenly it's 10-3 at halftime, and they go on to beat Auburn. So I'm really fascinated by Georgia and getting Ole Miss at home. You know, Ole Miss coming in still undefeated. I think that's probably the one that's going to have the biggest bearing on the playoff. But I'm actually driving back from the beach right now with my kids' fall break and had a chance to listen to you guys a lot. And you set it up well when you talked about LSU and Vanderbilt. You know, this feels almost like a playoff game, because I do think that it's hard to imagine a world where the loser of this game doesn't lose at least 3 games this season. So it kind of feels like a survive and advance type situation. And crazy enough, Vandy is a 1-point favorite at home against LSU, which I think is going to be a fascinating game.
So let's talk about that game for a moment. Tomorrow, an 11 o'clock kickoff at First Bank Stadium on West End. As you mentioned, Vanderbilt favored, at least on ESPN Bet, by 1.5. Detail the path to victory for me, Chad, for Vanderbilt against LSU tomorrow.
I think it's really simple, and I know Willie was talking about scheming things up offensively, but I think that's Vanderbilt's offense, right? It's not overly complicated. It's all about getting you off balance. It's a jet sweep here and then a fake jet sweep there. It's getting guys' eyes in the wrong places and giving Diego Pavia really 1 or 2 options on a play. And a lot of times one of those 2 options is to run the football, which he does very well. I think they can do that against pretty much any SEC defense. LSU's got a very good defense. They're going to be able to slow Vanderbilt down, but Vandy's going to score points in this game. And I think that LSU's offense, because of Garrett Nussmeier's injury and their inability to stretch the field, I think it plays right into Vandy's hands, in that they're going to have long drives to be able to get something done. And I think that's difficult to do against this Vandy defense that has been pretty good at bend but don't break. So I really think the matchup is that Vandy's in a good spot in this game. I think the point spread's about right. It feels kind of like a coin toss in this game. LSU's more talented, but Vanderbilt at home, with their ability to scheme some things up offensively, they're going to have a great chance to win this game and be that surviving team that we're talking about for a possible playoff spot.
Now, Chad, since the first game of the season when Alabama lost to Florida State, I think they've sort of gotten back to, you know, where we potentially thought this team could be. They are probably the hottest team in college football at this particular moment. When you look at Alabama in this game in particular, how does UT win this game? Because as we talked last segment, you're looking at a team in UT that's the number one scoring team in the country, or at least in the SEC. But with that, you also are giving up a lot of yards through the air on defense. And Alabama, going against a team like Alabama, who has seemed to picked up steam. Their quarterback is playing really well, and they got threats on the outside. So how does UT win this game when they know they have a difficulty at stopping the pass? Because if you try to stop the pass, the Alabama's going to do what Alabama does, and they're going to run the ball and slow up the game. And I don't think slowing up the game is good for UT.
Yeah, I think Jam Miller possibly being out for Alabama is huge for Tennessee's game. And I think Deshaun Bishop, if he's not 100%, he's been running the ball really well for Tennessee. That could factor in also. Offensively for Tennessee, it's a lot like Vandy. It feels like halfway through the season, they're going to score points on anybody. They're going to move the ball. Joey Aguilar is one of the best quarterbacks in the country, too. Let's not forget about him in this matchup. He's been arguably as good as Ty Simpson for a lot of this season. I don't think Tennessee fans could have asked for anything more than what Aguilar's brought to the table. Now, and he doesn't turn the ball over really much at all this season either. But defensively, I think that's where you're hitting on a key point there, D-Mace, that Tennessee's secondary is atrocious. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, they're not going to magically improve leaps and bounds and suddenly be able to stop the pass. They're down their top two corners. I think if they have Jermaine McCoy and Ricky Gibson, they have arguably the two best cornerbacks in the SEC. They're both out for the season. Likely McCoy's out for the season. We know Gibson's now out for the season. Colton Hood's playing pretty well, the Colorado transfer. Ty Redmond on the other side, he's a freshman. He's trying to figure things out. And they're too slow at safety. And I don't know why that is, and I don't know why Tennessee constantly has this year-in, year-out problem at safety, but they're just not good enough at the safety position. And it's a variety of things. You know, there are times where they play zone on a third and long, and guys are getting lost in the backfield and not knowing that people are in their zone or they're leaving their zone and someone's coming behind them and filling that gap where they're wide open. It feels like every time it's something different with Tennessee's secondary and the screw-ups we've seen this season. But here's what their defense is. They're complete boom or bust. They are either going to give up a 7-play, 75-yard touchdown drive, or they are going to sack your quarterback and force a fumble and get the ball back. Tennessee leads the country in sacks. They are great at forcing turnovers. So, to me, the key in this game is it's not just win the turnover battle. I think you got to be +2 or +3 if you're Tennessee. Keep in mind, against Arkansas, they turned Arkansas over 4 times in that game. They only scored 1 touchdown off those 4 turnovers. They took over 2 other times in plus territory and did not score. If the offense plays a little better complementary football, and I'm not blaming anything on the offense, but in that game alone, if they play better complementary football and score 1 or 2 more, it's a blowout. And I think that game should have been a blowout, and Tennessee, because of their secondary, allowed Arkansas to score a couple late touchdowns.
Now, Chad, where does the loser go from here? Because if you're looking at both of their schedule, remaining schedules after this game, it's not too daunting. Yes, UT or Alabama may have one extra, you know, ranked opponent, and I don't think they do. I think both of them have 2 ranked opponents left. But where does the loser go from here?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, you look at Vandy and LSU's schedule, that's why I think that game is so important. The rest of their schedule is much tougher. I think Tennessee and Alabama, D-Mace, you're right, it's very manageable. I mean, as much as an SEC schedule can
exactly
be manageable, right? It's not like they're going to be walking the park, but Tennessee's going to go to Kentucky. They should win that game by 2 scores the next week. They're going to get Oklahoma at home. What does John Mateer look like at that point? We saw him coming back from the thumb injury. Didn't look great against Texas, but that's at home. Tennessee's going to be favored in that one. Then they go out of conference and play New Mexico State. I really think the one game to look at where they might be an underdog is, let's see how Florida's playing, because that's been a house of horror for Tennessee, going to the Swamp, and they got to go there the week before finishing the season with Vanderbilt at home. And I think it's going to, you know, be less than a touchdown at this point, but I think Tennessee would probably be favored against Vanderbilt in Neyland Stadium. So, look, there's some tough games left, but I really think the loser of this game isn't out of it by any means, simply because the schedule is a little bit more manageable. But you got to go out and take care of business, because what we've seen in this conference, there's not a big separation from 1 to 15. I think Kentucky's a good bit worse than everyone else. But you go 1 to 15 in this league, you know, Missouri went in this last week undefeated. They're going to go to Auburn. That's a toss-up game. Auburn's winless in the SEC. So there are no easy outs in this conference.
Chad Withrow is with us. Chad, I want to take that point a step further, because I think you're dead on right. Everybody's been clamoring for the last several years, I want more good TV matchups. I'm tired of seeing these mismatches. I don't want to see the cupcakes. And it's going to be even tougher when the league goes to 9 conference games. And they still make you schedule a Power 4 team outside of the league. But I'm concerned about something we talked about before the season. is it possible that it's almost too good? Because as you said, 1 through 15, you're seeing great unpredictability and drama each week for the most part. But that's not necessarily good to win the national championship, right? Don't you think this is still this is going to have a dog eat dog a little bit?
Yeah, Willie, you're spot on. It's the ultimate catch 22. We've got this great television product. It's the NFL. The SEC is slowly becoming the NFL, where every week anyone can beat anyone. Point spreads are getting lower and lower, and it's the thrill of a minute in the league. But then if the ultimate goal is to get as many possible teams in a playoff and to win a national title, I don't know that it serves you well. I think the Big Ten's in a good spot where they have three good teams and then a bunch of mediocre teams, then some bad teams to win a national title, because those teams aren't tested. You know, Ohio State might be the best team in the country right now. Indiana's up there. I think Oregon is going to be there. But it's just a different league, and the SEC has really become what I think everyone who likes college football envisioned a conference could be top to bottom. But are they going to eventually eliminate that extra Power Four game when they start to see how difficult it gets to go through a season? I also think fans just have to change their mindset. You know, I grew up in an SEC where, you know, as a Tennessee fan growing up, you were devastated if you lost to South Carolina or you lost to Kentucky. I mean, how dare Tennessee or Alabama or Georgia or Florida lose to one of these bottom half programs, a Mississippi State, a Vanderbilt? That's no longer the case. Like, every game, there are no, you know, there are the haves and the have-nots to an extent, but that gap has closed big time between those programs, and there's no more easy games. So I think it's hard for fans of those teams that are accustomed to losing maybe one or two, or maybe in a bad year, three games a season, to wrap their heads around the idea that, hey, maybe 9-3 or 8-4 is a good year in this current SEC. And I think that's a tough change for a lot of people. NFL fans know what it's like, but I think for SEC fans of some top programs, they might have to get a little bit more accustomed to those types of records.
All right, two more quick matchup things on the two big games locally here. One, why do you think Garrett Nussmeier has struggled as much as he has?
I think he's injured. You know, he's got like it's a oblique, or they keep saying upper body issue, but whatever that is has limited his ability to really let it rip and throw the ball down the field. I think there are a few mysteries in this conference. I think DJ Lagway looking worse is a big mystery with nothing changing. Out of the conference, Cade Klubnik and his struggles have been a big mystery to me. I think Garrett Nussmeier, you can point directly at the injury. But I also thought that Brian Kelly and what he's been able to do offensively throughout his career would be more adept at changing things enough to where that offense could be better. I don't know if you guys watched South Carolina LSU last week. That was a snooze fest, that 20-10 game. Both of those offenses are really bad. And I can't believe it when you look especially at the talent at LSU. South Carolina, a different story. But both offenses, I'm thinking, what are they even trying to accomplish offensively? It's been a real mystery. But I think with Nussmeier specifically, Willie, I think you can point to that injury and say that's been the biggest issue, which, again, I think plays into Vanderbilt's hands because this is not a big play offense.
And the last one is Ty Simpson, you mentioned it. He's only thrown one interception, and that was on a fourth down against Vanderbilt. But he does hold the ball. He will hold it. He'll extend plays, and he was very effective against Vanderbilt doing that. But he does take some sacks. I'm curious, when you mentioned that Tennessee is the leading sack team in the SEC, about that matchup.
Yeah, I think they're the leading sack team in the country, in fact, not just the SEC. Tennessee's got an advantage. I mean, if they're going to do anything defensively, they're going to have to get after Ty Simpson. They can get to him with four, but if you need to send five or six on a blitz, you got to heat him up. I think that the concept of sitting back in coverage on third and seven and playing zone is not going to work. Didn't work against Arkansas, didn't work against Georgia, will not work against Alabama and Ty Simpson. So you've got to heat him up. You've got to bring extra guys. If you give up a big play or two, so be it. It's either that or give up, you know, consistently 15 yards on third and 10 if you sit back in zone coverage. And we saw last week that right tackle for Alabama got completely exposed by Missouri's offensive line. Missouri was able to sack Ty Simpson four times. Weren't able to really force any turnovers in doing that. But I think Tennessee, they sacked Taylen Green five times on Saturday for Arkansas. They're going to get to Ty Simpson. They're going to need to if they're going to have a chance. But I think to really have a chance to pull off the upset on the road, it's not just going to be sacking them. They're going to need to force a turnover or two with him by getting pressure on him quickly.
Chad Withrow of Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always. Enjoy the college football and more this weekend.
Absolutely. You guys do the same. Always fun hopping on your show.
Always a pleasure, Chad. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, the Predators took one on the chin last night. But there is something that I want to discuss because I've heard a lot of Predators fans grumbling about it. I think Willie has probably heard a lot of Predators fans grumbling about it. And I do want to address that coming up next. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented by Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com.